Off the Ball. GAA.
Cork were nearly too honest. They were doing their best to play the game. Kill the game. Take off their helmet. The ref has to stop the game. Like, do something.
No, it is. Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With UPMC Sports Surgery Clinic. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
And it is the British and Irish Lions taking on Australia in the second test tomorrow morning from 11 a.m. Irish time. Chris Jones of the BBC is with us. Good morning, Chris. How are things?
Yeah, good. How's it going, guys?
We're keeping well.
He's cold. A cold Chris Jones.
Yeah, it's chilly here. And I'm also showing off my AFL gear. I've got my Carlton Blues hat on too.
Have you been sipping up the culture over there?
Oh, you can't miss it. You can't miss it when you're in Melbourne. It's absolutely awesome. I don't know if you guys have been, but any of our listeners who have would know you just go along the Yarra River and you're just hit by this stack of amazing sporting arenas. You've got the MCG, you've got Margaret Court, the Rod Laver, you know, the Marvel Stadium's not far away as well. So it's just, you just can't avoid the sport in every corner of this great city.
What's the vibe heading into this second test, Chris, over there? Because we were chatting to Ronan O'Gara this morning and various guests during the week, and the word complacency comes up, and maybe we're hypothesising this, but hoping that complacency doesn't come into this British and Irish Lions setup, because all of a sudden, quite confident in the first test.
It's Irish setup.
What's that?
I'll say it was a Freudian slip.
Yeah,
saying,
possibly.
Saying the Irish setup.
Well, we'll get to that, yeah.
I think, yeah, sure. I think complacency, there is that danger, not really from the Lions, but, you know, us guys travelling media, the loads of fans we speak to, there has been the feeling since Saturday of, oh, you know, can Australia get back into this series? Wouldn't it be great if the Wallabies were better? Weren't they poor in Brisbane? What's happening with Australian rugby? There's been a lot of that kind of chat. And so that would have got into the Lions camp. You know, the expectation for them to win, they are in uncharted territory for a Lions side that is expected to win, as opposed to a Lions side that goes to the other end of the world without much hope and expectation. So that's a different challenge emotionally and mentally for this Lions group. But I think they are, you know, they're super focused on getting the job done. They seem determined not to win this series. They want to win it 3-0. 2-1 they would take, but I think they're really, really here to win 3-0. So I think there is a real steely focus. There was a relaxed attitude down at the MCG today. We were watching the guys train. They weren't really training. They were playing cricket in the outfield, like a huge game of cricket. Everyone having a bat, everyone in good form, and really trying to soak in the surroundings. And that's what is really special about this weekend, is playing at the MCG. There are a load of brilliant stadiums in Melbourne, but the MCG towers above all of them, like the alpha male of sporting stadiums. It is the cultural centerpiece of Melbourne. It is the sporting epicenter of the state and potentially of Australia as well. And I think that is not lost on the players, because they were really soaking it up today. And I spoke to John Fogarty about it, and he was really saying, look, this is a once in a lifetime kind of thing. So the message from the Lions management to the players is rise to the occasion and really seize it.
What's the British media's reaction been to 9 Irish players in the starting team?
I think not a great surprise. It's been clear, hasn't it, that the template that is winning Lions series, or is going to win Lions series, or could win Lions series. Look, the Lions have won the Lions have won one series so far this century. They might win another tomorrow, you know, morning, lunchtime, UK time, tomorrow night here in Melbourne. And if they do it, it'll be with the Welsh coach picking the majority of the Welsh side with a Welsh heavy coaching team. And if they do it in 2013, and if they do it tomorrow, it'll be with the Irish coach picking a predominantly Irish team with a predominantly Irish coaching team. Now, maybe that's just the way of the world in Lions in 2025 or in this age of professionalism. So if ever there is a close call, if there is a 50-50, it is going to go the way of the guy who the head coach and the other coaches have seen play in big, high-pressured matches and delivering for that head coach and for those coaches. And it was similar with Wales in 2013 and Warren Gatland. And, you know, I've spoken to plenty of ex-players who either had a good time with the Lions or never got selected for the Lions. And they've all said that it makes a difference having someone in the room fighting for you and having someone who knows you in that coaching team. So I don't think it's ideal for the Lions, and maybe that's a little bit idealistic and romantic and sentimental to think, wouldn't it be great if there was a real equal mix of coaches and equal mix of players from across the four nations? Maybe that is a little bit utopian, but it is no great surprise that once Andy Farrell is the head coach with an Irish heavy coaching team and a squad full of Irish players who have been really good in Six Nations the last couple of years, that there were going to be as many as 8, 9, 10,
yeah,
even more Irishmen in the test team. And if it weren't for Gary Ringrose admirably pulling out, it would be 10.
Yeah.
And then you never know if Joe McCarthy's fit or Mac Hansen's fit, could have been 11 or 12.
There is an alternative world where they are all fit and it is 12 or 13 starters. And I wonder then, would it become a conversation, regardless of the end result of this series, was that...
That's too many, isn't it?
Yeah, guys? Exactly. But that's, it's so funny because it's like, well, 9 is fine, but 12 is too many. And it's like, well, what's the actual cutoff?
What's the line? Maybe Gatland set the over-unders on the handicap. Maybe he set it
at
10.
It's just,
anything under's okay and anything over's not.
It's such a different conversation. It's like 9, you say, well, you know what, they're understandable decisions. 1 or 2 more, it's like, well, this is getting out of control. So for future tours, does there need to be a quota that you have to have X number of players from one of the four countries involved, or you just leave it up to the subjectivity or whatever you want to call it of the coach?
I wouldn't ever do a quota on players. And I'll just be really clear, because there'll be Irish fans listening going, well, where was this chat in 2013? Toby Faletau won a head-to-head over Jamie Heaslip. John Davis / Jamie Roberts won a head-to-head over Brian O'Driscoll, and Irish fans were up in arms. And now it comes in cycles, doesn't it? Scotland fans had a rotten time of it. Now they're getting a bit more recognition. Wales fans had a brilliant time of it. Now they're fighting to get one guy on the test bench. So it changes all the time, and we all acknowledge that. I would never put a quota on players, because the thing about the Welsh out here is, even if they're desperate for Jack Morgan to be involved, not many of them feel there should be more Welshmen on the team or more Welshmen in the squad. Maybe they feel that when they brought players in for the Pacifica game, it would have been nice if a few more Welshmen had got the nod then. But ultimately, they know that Jack Morgan, and before that, when he was on the tour, Thomas Williams, are the only two who had legitimate cases really for this tour and to be in this test squad. So it all changes all the time. And I wouldn't ever set a quota, because you've got to go with what team is dominant, and Ireland have been dominant. England are a coming force, and that is borne out in test selection. That's absolutely understandable. I would want all nations represented in the coaching team if possible, and I've thought for a while that it would be ideal, and again, probably not in keeping at all with this uber professional win at all costs high performance mentality that pervades through the Lions in 2025. But if you had a head coach and then an assistant coach from all four nations, so all four nations were represented in the room, I think that might be a way to go about it, just to ensure that every player gets a fair crack at it.
Does the 2025 series and the future of Australia's place in the Lions series dwell on an Australian victory in this test, Chris, tomorrow? Because obviously, if it's going to be a 3-0 whitewash, it's hard to back it.
I completely agree. I think it's a live conversation. It's a conversation we are having in a little bit, like here and there, but we're not properly confronting, because Australia can still win this series. It's only 1-0. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. And this is a proud rugby nation that have changed their team, will have had a massive rocket, will feel the pressure of the rugby in this country on their shoulders, and will have to go out and deliver at the MCG. So maybe it's a conversation for next week. And if you'd asked me a couple of weeks, months ago, I'd have gone, look, if Australian rugby can't sustain a Lions tour, if it's not strong enough, the Lions have to act. And I do agree that there should be change in 12 years' time if the Lions come back to Australia, whether that is playing a Fiji, whether that is playing the Drua, whether that is playing, ensuring and actually ensuring there's release for Wallaby players into the tour matches. I don't think we can just do exactly the same as 12 years' time, when the tour matches haven't caught the imagination of people either here or back home. And if the series, huge if of course, ends up being resoundingly won by the Lions, I think you can't just roll that out in 12 years' time. However, you look at the fans over here, you look at these amazing cities, you look at these amazing stadiums just down the road from me here in Melbourne, you look at 90,000, not many other countries can offer that. The Lions is driven by commercial imperatives, whether we like it or not. And I think the Lions board and management would be loath to give all of this up in Australia to do something else, whether it's going to South America, whether it's going to France. I think they feel that there isn't that there needs to be something away from the Six Nations. You couldn't just go to France, given that we see France year in, year out in the Six Nations. So I really would think it'd be a terrible idea if the series is a whitewash, and again, a big if, just to say, okay, let's see what happens in 12 years' time. Because there's no guarantee with Aussie rugby, and even people who love Aussie rugby sometimes sound a fairly pessimistic note about where the sport is in the sporting landscape here. So the last thing the Lions can do is just roll the same thing out 12 years' time. But I'd be very surprised if they give Australia up because of the amazing place it is to tour, the huge amount of money it makes for the local economies, and the huge amount of money it generates for the Lions too.
Spare thought for Hugh Jones this week, Chris. So
sure,
he's
yeah.
told, you're out entirely. And he's possibly told, here's why. So he's thinking about that, and then he gets the curly finger. Sorry about that, you're back in.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I chatted on our pod yesterday to John Barkley and Ugo Monya about this, and they agreed that is a tough place to be for Hugh Jones. I mean, really tough, and then really euphoric. He's gone from being a test lion, winning a test match, being dropped, coming back in. And, you know, spare a thought too for Sione Tuipulotu, you know, hamstring injury or no hamstring injury. We understand he hadn't been named in the squad. They were going to go Aki and Ringrose on Wednesday.
Yeah.
So for him to be dropped in his hometown, it's unforgiving, isn't it? And there's no sentiment. You know, and that's the thing. Andy Farrell, as you guys know, for Arnley, doesn't coach on sentiment. He coaches on results and winning and what he feels is the best combination. He felt it was the Irish pair, regardless of how Jones and Tuipulotu had gone in Brisbane. So I actually think this centre pairing is probably the fourth one they would have wanted.
Right.
I think they would want either both Irish or both Scottish. Those are the best two options. The third best option for me is Tuipulotu and Ringrose. And the fourth, the one I feel actually probably hasn't run together enough, and the one that probably I don't see working quite as well, is this one tomorrow. And Andy Farrell hasn't... this is not his ideal centre pairing. No. Because he
Queensland
wanted to
Reds,
run
was this
Ringrose.
Chris?
Yeah, they started that. Yeah. I did think they improved their best part of the game was sort of the third, fourth quarter, where I'm not sure if those two are still together. So they've got a bit of time, don't get me wrong. But bear in mind, with the midweek game and how much travel that these guys have been doing, I can't imagine that Aki and Jones have run a huge amount in training at 12 and 13.
Yeah.
It has seemed as if the centres were coming as a national pair. So it just gives a little bit of an opening maybe to Australia. They're still quality players. This Lions team looks really, really well coached. So it might not be an issue at all. And it might be the kind of night, it's cold, it could be wet. It might not be the kind of night like it was in the Suncorp, which is a dry day, warm night, flat track, fast track. So maybe the real synergy and cohesion in the centres isn't as important as it may have been then. But I just think if you're Australian, you're Joe Schmidt, you're going, yeah, this centre pairing is probably not the one Andy Farrell wanted all along.
It seems certain that Owen Farrell will have an influence on the game one way or the other. But is there a world where you would have started him with the news that Guy Ringrose is out, play Owen Farrell 12 and then maybe perhaps move Aki 13 just to get Owen Farrell's influence in if you were going to drop Hugh Jones anyway?
Nah, I think it still feels soon, doesn't it? Mm. For Owen Farrell, who's not played a load of rugby and hadn't played in 10 weeks before playing against the Invitational. And then he got through an 80 on Tuesday, and then he's been asked to back up. I think that, you know, as good as he is and as amazing a rugby brain as he has, I still think he's still playing catch up a little bit. So they've got him on the bench, you know, break glass and emergency kind of figure to cover 10 or 12. I think they're... Well, I wonder if there was a temptation once Ringrose is out to actually say to Tuipulotu and Aki, look, we're going to go back to the Scottish centres. And I know there's talk of Tuipulotu's hammy, but I don't think it's that bad at all. So, yeah, it's just that centre pairing from day one has just been so interesting because you've almost got four really, really, really evenly matched players, four really quality players. Yes, you would maybe have Ringrose a nose ahead of Jones and maybe Tuipulotu a nose ahead of Aki. But Aki was a player of the World Cup only a couple of years ago and a big Andy Farrell favourite. So it's almost as if because there isn't one player like it, you know, there's no Jerry Guscott, Brian O'Driscoll, John Fox Davis who has to play and then you pick someone alongside him. It means that there's been this constant changing and he's always had the national pair to go back to. So yeah, really, really interested. I don't think Owen Farrell starting was an option, but, you know, very, very important. He could be in the second half to come on either at 10 or most likely at 12.
Yeah, fingers crossed. It's a good contest. 11 a.m. Irish time tomorrow for the British and Irish Lions against Australia in the second test. Chris, thanks a million for jumping on this morning, this evening.
Great to be on. Cheers, guys.